Hi, this is Ray Boland for ID the Future, the podcast for Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Today we have with us Dr. Mike Behe, a professor at Lehigh University and the author of Darwin's Black Box and The Edge of Evolution. And he's also the subject of a new film called Revolutionary. So what we're going to do here at the beginning, we're going to play the trailer from Revolutionary, and then we'll come back and join Mike Behe by phone. Thank you.
For thousands of years, humans have invented ways to propel themselves through water. But long before humans invented their propulsion systems, nature developed its own methods of moving through liquid space, not only in fish and other large aquatic creatures, but in organisms so tiny they cannot be seen by the naked eye. Perhaps the most amazing propulsion system on our entire planet is one that exists in bacteria. It's called the flagellum, a miniature propeller driven by a motor with many distinct mechanical parts, each made of proteins. The flagellum's motor resembles a human-designed rotary engine. It has a universal joint, bushings, a stator, and a rotor. It has a drive shaft and even its own clutch and braking system. In some bacteria, the flagellar motor has been clocked at 100,000 revolutions per minute. The motor is bidirectional and can shift from forward to reverse almost instantaneously. Some scientists suggest it operates at near 100% energy efficiency. All of this is done on a microscopic scale that is hard to imagine. The diameter of the flagellar motor is no more than 5 millionths of a centimeter. The bacterial flagellum is one of many molecular machines that scientists have discovered in the last several decades, including energy-producing turbines, information copying machines, and even robotic walking motors. The origin of these exquisite examples of nanotechnology is a mystery that has generated heated controversy among biologists over the past two decades. And it's a mystery that has transformed one man into a scientific rebel, willing to challenge one of the most cherished ideas of the scientific establishment.
Okay, Mike, on October 14th, ID the Future reposted a podcast from 10 years ago, which was the 10th anniversary of Darwin's Black Box. Now, a key question then was, have the Darwinists made any significant progress explaining the amazing little molecularly outboard motor known as the bacterial flagellum? The short answer then was, well, not so much. But now here we are 10 years later, so 20 years after Darwin's Black Box. So I'll pose an updated version of the question that after 20 years of wrestling with the problem, any progress? What do you and the new film Revolutionary have to say?
Well, again, the short answer is no, there has been a grand total of zero progress in trying to explain how the bacterial flagellum might have arisen by a Darwinian process or any other evolutionary process by random changes and selection or whatever. Back in the day, back 10 years ago when I was, I guess, doing the first broadcast, that was a different time. The Dover trial, our listeners may have heard about that, had finished soon before, and people were in an uproar. A lot of scientists, people were agitated because intelligent design was a lot in the news those days. There was a paper published on the bacterial flagellum by a microbiologist named Mark Palin and a man named Nick Matsky, who was then working for the Anti-Intelligent Design National Center for Science Education and who had helped them in the Dover trial. And they put out a paper which was published in a journal published by Nature, in which they looked at the protein sequences of the bacterial flagellum proteins. It consists of dozens of different protein parts. And they compared one to another, and they made remarks that, well, some of them seem to have similarity to each other, and maybe one arose from the other, and such deductions as one can make from sequences. And it turns out that sequence information is a reasonable way to look at relatedness between proteins, but it doesn't tell you at all how a protein arose. And they did not go into the question of how proteins arose. As a matter of fact, they asked the Darwinian community to begin to try to do experiments on how the flagellum evolved. And here I have a little quote from their article. They had a section in their article titled "An Experimental Research Program" with a question mark at the end. And they wrote, "In recent years," which was way back in 2006, "in recent years, flagellar biologists have made astonishing progress in understanding the structure, function, and regulation of bacterial flagella. However, the flagellar research community has scarcely begun to consider how these systems have evolved." So nobody back then had even begun to, and they, the authors, suggested a few lines of research that might be profitable. And here we are 10 years later, and as you said, 20 years after Darwin's black box, and nobody has published anything subsequent to their article, with the exception of one paper, which I might mention. Neither Palin nor Matsky has published another paper on the flagellum, and nobody else in the entire research community, the thousands of scientists who published many, many papers on how the flagellum works, but Zippo, nothing on how it might have evolved by Darwinian processes.
Well, I was going to just ask quickly that in the film, though, one of the major aspects of that is you mentioned the Dover trial earlier. And at that time, there was a biologist from Brown University, Ken Miller, who claimed that he had a refutation for the irreducible complexity of the flagellum. And where does his complaint stand today?
Well, about the same place as Palin and Matsky's paper does. It was a claim and kind of a plea that this might give us a lead on how the flagellum evolved. And in the meantime, nobody has followed it up. And in fact, his story has gotten considerably worse than what he made. He implied that there's an apparatus which uses a kind of a subset of flagella components, and it can't work as a bacterial outboard motor, as the bacterial flagellum does. But it does work as a pump, which pumps protein. Mm-hmm. These proteins are the basic machines of the cell, and it has a different purpose, a different function. And he claimed or led folks to believe that, well, maybe this type 3 secretory system, this pump, might have been a way station on the evolution of the bacterial flagellum. But he didn't show how that might have happened. He didn't show how the allegedly simpler system might have arisen. He didn't show how it could get from the simpler system to the more complex flagellum. He just kind of said, well, maybe this could happen. And there was a big problem with that, even at the time, because the number of scientists thought that the simpler system actually derived from the more complex one. That is, the pump came from the flagellum, because the pump is needed for the flagellum to work. And now the most accepted hypothesis, which has kind of been reinforced in the past few years, is that the more complex flagellum degraded over time in some bacteria and gave rise to a protein pump.
So the far more complex flagellum came first, and then the pump.
Exactly. It's kind of like having a car. You've got a working car, and you take out the fuel pump, and maybe you can use the fuel pump for something else. And somebody says, perhaps a car came from a fuel pump.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out it doesn't work like that. And again, I should reiterate that it's been 20 years. You know, back when Darwin's Black Box was published, one of the biggest retorts was, well, you just wait. You give us 10 years or 20 years, and we'll show you how those irreducibly complex systems could have evolved. And here we are, 20 years later, and not only aren't there any answers, nobody's even attempted it.
Well, Michael, that's an awful lot to digest. And the new documentary, I really have enjoyed watching it and rewatching it, honestly. Some of the animated illustrations of the bacterial flagellum are far more detailed and intriguing, I should say. And there's also some human drama involved in all of this, but we're going to leave that for another podcast. So I'm going to say thank you for today. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be speaking to you again real soon.
Thanks for having me on.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute, 2016. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org or idthefuture.com.